Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. How good it is to be together. Yesterday, as I read the news, I thought, I can't wait to be with my church family. I need you guys, so thanks for being here. We're grateful for those of you that are worshiping online as well. We pray that this time of worship would be one that honors you and honors God and honors the community as a whole. As we continue in our season of transition, we're grateful for Reverend Beth Foster, our dear friend who will be preaching this morning. We're grateful for her. Next week, we start a new series on encounters with Jesus for the Epiphany season. We hope that you will join us for that. We're also grateful for Gail, who is here today, who is covering for Shanae. Thank you for being here. Shanae is continuing to support her husband, Ed. You may have heard last week that Ed was in the hospital on Christmas Day. He is home now, and they're still figuring out what's going on. So we'll share more information as we have it. Please be in prayer for Shanae and for Ed. We're grateful for those who are covering for her this month so that she can be a good caregiver to Ed in this time. You can find their address in our online directory if you'd like to send them a card. And if you don't have access to our online directory, feel free to email us at office@fbca2.org and we will share that with you. There's a lot of good things happening here today. We have after worship children's choir beginning again for the year and youth group. We have a new adult formation class that Phil Christman is leading. He'll be sharing pieces from his book that just came out, Why Christians Should Be Leftists. And you'll see his humor showing up right in the blurb that he wrote, an invitation for you to attend that today. So make sure you read more about that in your bulletin. Our youngish adult group is also gathering today in the Campus Center living room. That's this way when you go out down to the right, the middle level. You can connect with Meg, who was greeting today, or Valerie or LJ to find your way to that during formation hour. And then the Board of Worship invites you to help take down decorations after those good gatherings. So we'll be shifting out of the Christmas season in this space. After those formation opportunities. So many hands make light work. We invite you to help us with that. The last thing to share is for second through fifth graders. Our plan for today is a little bit different than we had planned, so you're going to join me after time as children. We're going to head upstairs for some children's ministry time together. All right. With all of that, would you now join Astrid in the responsive call to worship just inside your bulletin?
The simple beauty of Jesus' birth, God summons us to see the Word made flesh.
Thank you.
Gracious God, as we enter a new year, let us remember our many blessings, including this congregation of wonderful people united in the purpose of worship here in this beautiful sanctuary. May the peace of God be with us all as we worship. Amen. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the psalm. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem.
Praise your God, O Zion.
For the Lord gives snow like wool, scatters frost like ashes.
Thunder cease and snow melts, makes streams flow and waters flow.
The Lord grants peace within your borders.
God blesses your children among you.
Praise the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Up here with all the poinsettias, do we? The poinsettias will be gone next week and we'll have a little more room. Today, we hear a story about the beginning of Jesus, when Jesus is born. But it's kind of different. There are lots of stories about Jesus' birth in the Bible, and this one starts like this. Are you ready? In the beginning was the... We have some letters here. Can we make something out of these letters? Who can make something out of those letters? Can we figure out?
We don't know how to spell.
Yeah, okay, so let's see if we can count on our friends to help us. Ooh. Mmm, that's a big W, so that does start us. Word. Would you repeat after me? In the beginning was the Word. You were saying it. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, let's keep listening. In the beginning was the Word and the... Here's a new one. Allie, would you see what you can do with those letters? In the beginning was the Word and the... Let's see what Allie is going to figure out here. What does she have? She has a D and an R and an O. What? Does she have the same letters? Allie, can you make that into the same word? Oh my goodness, let's listen to it again. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Can you say that?
And the Word was with God.
Ooh, we keep hearing this word, Word. And the blank was God. Let's see, can you use those letters and see if you can figure out something? Oh, whoa, you guys are noticing a pattern. And the Word was God. Would you say that? I have one more set of cards. What do you think it spells? What? Word? This shows... It keeps happening. Let's see. Emery, can you make that turn into the word Word? Whoa. This is a name for somebody who said some amazing things and did some really special things and whose birthday we just celebrated. Jesus. Jesus, this is another name for Jesus, the Word. Would you repeat these parts after me? This is a beautiful part of Scripture to get into our heads. This last one, though, let's say that before we say them all again. And the Word became flesh. What do you think that? That means the Word became a baby. That's Jesus.
Well, sounds a little bit. Also pretty close because it's October 10th.
Yes, that's in the fall. Close. Here we go. So the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word became a baby and lived with us. This is a beautiful way to hear the story of Jesus being born. Let's repeat these parts again, remembering that the Word is a name for Jesus. Listen to these words and repeat them after me. In the beginning was the Word. Your turn.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God. Yes, and the Word became flesh.
And the Word became flesh.
And lived among us.
And lived among us.
I like how you are noticing where to put some emphasis as we said those words. Would you pray with me? Can you make your body like a W? Ooh, is your head the middle? I don't know if I look like a W. Okay, let's pray. Hey, God. We are grateful for the Word, for Jesus who was with you in the beginning, who is you and who is with us now, and who lived here on the earth. It's mysterious, it's wonderful, it causes us to wonder, to imagine, it causes us to be about love. So may we remember these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Let's say it together. Emma's ready. Will you repeat after me? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
And the Word was God.
And the Word became flesh.
And the Word became flesh.
And lived among us.
And lived among us.
Ooh, my arms are tired. Amen. Let's head to church school together. We're going upstairs, friends. Upstairs today.
Well, less beautiful. Let's pray together. O God of shining, shimmering, purifying light, on this first Sunday of the new year, as this year's Christmas season is ending, we bring our prayers to you, asking you to see us, to hear us, and to meet us at our very points of need. Having just experienced again the annual Christmas tradition of gift-giving and receiving, we pause to thank you for the most precious gift of all, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, born into our world to be with us in a manner and at a depth far beyond our deepest imagination. This is such a dark season of the year. The nights are long and cold, and the daylight so comparatively short and fleeting that many of us find our energy and mood similarly feeble and fading sometimes. And so we pray, be our spark of light and warmth in this sometimes foreboding season. And then there persists a different kind of darkness across our world, from Gaza and Ukraine to Washington, D.C., and right outside our very doors, we hear of and sometimes see evidence of great inhumanity, of persistent wrongdoing, of ongoing oppression by the powerful against the powerless. Light a fire for justice in our hearts, that we in our daily living can be as courageous as candles in the dark, shining our light of faith in the dark places we encounter. Some of us find our heart lights dimmed by the suffering of body, mind, or spirit that we or those we love must live with every day. Cancers of all kinds, heart or vascular disease, neurological disorders, diseases of major organs, infections of all kinds, and the list just goes on. Shine a light of hope, O Lord, to those of us who need to find a way through our otherwise and dangerous personal paths of peril. We think, too, of those who are the leaders among us, those whom we trust to be our stewards of our common resources, designers of our shared paths forward, and deciders about many of the issues and concerns of our days and times. Surely they, too, encounter discouraging, dark moments of doubt and even despair. Renew in them, in us, the light of renewed hope and direction, purpose and resolve to carry on by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray for our church and for our broader community. May this congregation, this house of faith, by the power of your Spirit, be a lighthouse of hope, love within and across this community, and may we each contribute to it as you grant us strength and courage to do so. We pause now in the silence of our hearts and minds to offer our personal and private prayers. And we turn now to pray for those among us whom we know to pray for by name, Ed Parmentier, Bob Reynolds, John Vandervliet, Rick Zimmerman, Erica Deals, Chuck Suits, Marilyn McKenzie, Keith Pickleman, Marlene Francis. We pray for Roberta House, Betty Doman, Mervyn Ucarts, for Esther Floyd and Marilyn Marsh, Betty Frieswick, Tommy Orlando, Dakota Lawson, Helga Mortensen, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, for Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, for Charlotta, for Grange Burnside, and for the Pastoral Search Committee. And we join together in praying the prayer our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And amen.
You may think Christmas is over. The 25th was 10, 11 days ago. Many of us have taken down our Christmas trees, and perhaps you've even packed away your nativity sets, though traditionally we think of the wise men or the magi traveling to Bethlehem on Epiphany, which is the 6th. So in the liturgical calendar, Christmas lasts from Christmas Day, December 25th, all the way to January 6th, Epiphany Day. Hence the Christmas song, The 12 Days of Christmas. However, the work of Christmas, the Christmas life, lasts the whole year long. None other than Ebenezer Scrooge from Dickens' A Christmas Carol reminds us more poignantly of the need to keep Christmas when he proclaims, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year." This, of course, is spoken by the transformed Scrooge, showing his desire to live with kindness and compassion all year long. Which brings us to John's Gospel and our scripture reading for today. As Zan mentioned, John offers a different kind of birth story, a different kind of Christmas story. He does not have a birth narrative like Matthew and Luke. His is a more heady approach, a theological one, which scholars have studied for years, that of the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Jesus became flesh, one of us, Emmanuel, God with us, as we sang all throughout Advent, as we sang again today. But what does the incarnation mean for us as we claim its promises in our lives? How can we be the light, the concept of God pitching a tent among us, taking on human skin, or the image of God in the neighborhood, the glorious impossible, love coming down to be with us, God's great miracle of love? All these are descriptions of the incarnation. But as Bill mentioned in our prayer, and those of us who have greeted each other with the news of the world today, there is so much darkness in our world, in our community, in our lives. We all know personal darkness. Sometimes it seems like these words cannot be true, that the darkness is overcoming the light. But John's promise to us is that Jesus came to be one of us, to meet us right where we are in our personal world, in our lives at this very moment. Jesus comes to us in our darkness. And God, in Christ, empowers us to be light bearers, to be little Christ to one another. There is a beautiful painting from the 15th century by a Dutch painter, Gerkento St. John, and it's printed on the back of your bulletin. I'd like you to take a look at it if you would. It's entitled Nativity at Night. And it's aptly named because, first of all, one is overwhelmed by the darkness. It depicts a traditional Christmas story. But again, I am most drawn to the darkness, especially in the center and around the corners. But as one looks closer, there is this light radiating from the baby in the manger, the Christ child. It is a divine glow, and this divine light emanates and illuminates everyone present. Mary's face is radiant. Now, Joseph didn't show up too well in this reprint, but he is behind Mary in the shadows. And I like to think of him as also being illumined. But perhaps that's where Joseph was most comfortable anyway, in the shadows. The angels are gazing in awe. And in the background, if you look closely, the shepherds can be seen with their dog and their sheep around their fire. And they are gazing upward at the dazzling angel. My favorite detail is the ox and donkey peering into the manger. You can see the ox more clearly than the donkey, but the donkey is there too. This powerful painting invites the viewer to become a part of the scene, to allow oneself to enter the light and also be illuminated. The divine glow pierces the darkness. This is the light of which John speaks, the light that shines in the deepest night, in which the night has not and will not overcome. But as I've already mentioned a couple of times and will reiterate again, the dark can be pretty powerful, can it not? It also can be scary. We must be honest about the reality of the darkness in our world and lives, but also claim the promise of the incarnation, of Christ entering our world in the flesh, becoming one of us, giving us life and light, empowering us to shine. This is the glorious impossible, to use Madeline Lingle's phrase, the extraordinary news of Christmas, that we are God's own children, called to be light bearers of infinite worth in God's eyes, called to help God care for each other in this broken world and earth. Therefore, to keep Christmas, we should live like the Word which became flesh and pitched a tent among us. Embodiment must now happen through God's people. That means the likes of you and I, children of God that we are. We are to be little Christ to one another, for Christ is the life-giving light. This church inspires me and continues to in so many ways that we have embodied Christ. I look out there and see many of you involved in these ministries, whether it be the rotating shelter, the upcoming daytime warming shelter, High Home Ministry, Hope Clinic, just to name a few. But the needs are so great, and there's always more work to do. That is why we need each other more than ever to share the light. A few years ago, I had a fall and I was laid up for several months. My first big outing was the Christmas Eve family service. I had an awkward walker, so I got seated and stayed there. But at one point in the service, and Zan still does this, we were invited to the front to take a candle which had been lit from the Christ candle. I could not get to the front, so I was content just sitting and watching. And then a kind and thoughtful person, whom I did not know very well, approached me to share a candle. I was deeply touched by this gesture of sharing the light. Sometimes we need someone to share the light with us, and other times we are called to share light with others. Frederick Buechner writes, "What keeps the wild hope of Christmas alive year after year in a world notorious for dashing all hopes is the haunting dream that the child who was born that day may yet be born again, even in us, and our snowbound, snowblind longing for him." Yes, we have the capacity, the calling, to become the light of Christ, shining in the darkness. It is the last Sunday of Christmas, the first Sunday of a new year, and we have this promise that is too amazing and wonderful to keep for just 12 days. The work of Christmas continues, as Howard Thurman encourages us so beautifully in his wonderful poem. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. We have the huge privilege of sharing and living the Christmas life together in this place, of keeping Christmas all year long. Our beloved Pastor Stacy loved her t-shirts with all their different sayings on them. My favorite was, "Shine bright, y'all. Shine bright, y'all." And yes, have a blessed Christmas all year long. The work of Christmas continues with our tithes and offerings. May we give generously and joyfully.
Yeah.
Receive these, our gifts, O Lord, and take our lives and help us to be your light in this world. Amen. Christ invites everyone to this table. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, you created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. In the fullness of time, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, and at his birth, the angels sang, "Glory to you in the highest, and peace to your people on earth."
As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem, and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable Jesus was born, so by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you, O Lord, gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, he broke it, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same manner, after the meal, he took the cup, blessed it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth my death until I come again." The cup of salvation. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup which we have received in gratitude. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. As is our custom, the offering plates will be at the doors, and this month our offering will go towards our local needs, those tangible needs that approach our doors every day. Please give as you are able. Please stand for Blessed Be the Time.
Blessed be God.
opportunity to share light and love and friendship with one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. That hope that clings tenaciously to the hearts of the faithful and proclaims to any Herod that the world might present to us, and to all the indoors slammed shut in our faces, and to all the dark nights of our souls, that with God all things are possible. Even now unto us a child is born. Let us go forth empowered by that wild hope, with great courage and joy, to shine bright, to continue the work of Christmas, to live Christmas every day. Go in peace.